Sham Hassan says he started working as an interpreter with U.S. soldiers to make a difference in his country.
Just to get on the Humvees, you know, and be with the U.S. Army and help, I would relentlessly work there, and I just want to offer help.
Hassan, in his early 20s at the time, saw the chaos after the Iraqi army was disbanded in 2003, a U.S. decision he disagreed with. But in 2010, he was assigned as an interpreter to Nasiriyah, south of Baghdad, to try to rebuild Iraqi forces. And he worked alongside the U.S. to do it. That made him a target, something he learned early on one day when he was out on a convoy with U.S. soldiers.
Actually, somebody parked the car and got off the car and spit on me, and he called me a traitor.
Threats intensified until he spent all his time on the U.S. base and visited his family only once or twice a year.
As an Iraqi and working for the U.S. Army was very, very dangerous. And I was highly wanted by the extremist and militia groups.
As the withdrawal of U.S. forces neared in 2011, he began to apply for a special visa to come live in the United States. It required multiple interviews and documented proof of his work as an interpreter and the threats he faced. After 3 years, his approval came. He arrived 2 months later to Chicago. For the first time in years, he felt safe.
When I go out, I don't have to worry about who's going to take me or kidnap me or shoot me in the head. I don't have to worry about being judged. I don't have to worry about being called infidel. It was so nerve-wracking and scary.
That was back in 2014. But President Trump's recent executive order banning all travel from Iraq and six other mostly Muslim nations put a big question mark on the fate of other interpreters like Hassan, who are still in Iraq awaiting their U.S. visas.
It honestly means the difference between life and death.
Mac McEachin is the National Security Policy Associate at the International Refugee Assistance Project. His group helps Iraqis and those from other countries apply for visas. McEachin says there were several days of confusion after President Trump signed the executive order, but now the administration is once again allowing interpreters who qualify for what's called a special immigrant visa to enter the U.S.
There's a ton of relief around it. There's still, I think, a lot of confusion as to why these sorts of things weren't worked out before the release of the EO. But, you know, these guys' primary goal is to get to safety, and so they're just happy to be afforded the opportunity again to try and do that.
The White House faced pressure to lift the ban on interpreters' travel from military leaders, members of Congress, and veterans, many of whom fought alongside interpreters. Kelsey Campbell is an Air Force veteran who served in Iraq.
We go over there prepared to do military tasks, but we don't know the cultural context on the ground.
She says her experience working with local interpreters, including a young Iraqi woman, changed her own view of Iraqis and refugees. Often the interpreters' roles extended beyond translating to gauging key cultural signs that American troops may miss.
So many of them have been able to warn impending dangers and have saved U.S. lives, and even in multiple instances have picked up arms themselves and kept American troops alive because of their brave acts.
In a statement, the Pentagon said it's pleased that special immigrant visa holders will be allowed to come to the U.S., but some veteran and advocacy groups say they're still concerned that other nationalities could get caught up in the travel ban. Interpreter Sham Hassan of Iraq is in touch with several who are still waiting.
It's not only affecting us, it affects also the American people. It affects the image of the American people. It affects the image of the American dream that the entire world, you know, dream about.
In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina.